introduced herself.
We're going to...
Mark Neely.
We're going to start.
Yes. Okay, so arrow keys.
It being past the hour of 3 o'clock, not sooner than, we will begin. Mr. Neely.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Mark Neely. I'm a senior engineering geologist here on staff in the southern unit of the Timber Harvest Division. And I'm here to give you an update on Pacific Lumber Company.
Do we have any written anything?
There was to be a copy of the monitoring reporting program. I don't know if that... No?
May have been here earlier in the day.
Yeah, is it there, Kathy? Okay, that's okay. Sorry about that. Is that him? Item 12? No, this is 13. Okay. So as I say, I'm here to present the item 13, Pacific Lumber Company update. And I should mention that when I say Pacific Lumber or Palco, I refer to the whole their whole family of companies, including Palco and Scopac. The topics I'm going to cover today are the watershed-wide waste discharge requirements, or WWDRs, the revision of the Zero Landslide Discharge Monitoring and Reporting Program, the status of Tier 2 enrollments, Bear and Jordan Creek WWDRs, the upcoming monitoring summit, and a little bit on looking towards the future. The watershed-wide waste discharge requirements were a novel approach to permitting timber harvest activities and controlling cumulative watershed effects. They were adopted by the board in June 2006 for Freshwater Creek and Elk River. Palco's Habitat Conservation Plan, or HCP, addresses many sediment sources in the watersheds, but not all. Two mechanisms that the HCP did not address were timber harvest-related landslides and increases in peak flow due, in part, to removal of canopy. Acreage limits were placed on the amount of harvest and the amount of clear cutting based on models that estimate both sediment input from landslides and the effect of increased peak flow on flooding. Another important program that addresses cumulative effects are the three cleanup and abatement orders, or CAOs, that we have issued in these watersheds. Now, the CAOs are largely on track, so I wasn't going to go into any details there, but they are proceeding as designed. As far as the status of the enrollments under the WWDRs, for the year 2000 in Freshwater Creek, the allotted acres under the landslide limits are 144 acres, of which a little over 134 acres, or 93% of the allotment, was filled by enrolling THP units. In Elk River, the allotment is 380 acres, of which about 90% was filled. This results in 48.2 acres left unfilled in the three watersheds, about 9% of the total allotment. When the board adopted the WWDRs, they added a means by which additional acres could be logged in exceedance of the acreage limits under the landslide model, utilizing a zero landslide sediment discharge program, which came to be referred to as Tier 2. You'll remember that this issue of Tier 2 has come up at the last couple of board meetings. The board charged the discharger and staff with devising a zero landslide discharge monitoring and reporting program. This was done in 2006. So far, 444 acres have been enrolled under this program, 205 acres in 2006 and 239 acres in 2007. Having administered this program for 2 years, staff realized that the MRP needed to be revised, largely to meet concerns expressed both by residents and by the public, and by the discharger themselves. In order to solicit comments, staff held two meetings, one with the residents and one with the discharger, this last May 8th. We were joined by Jeff Hales for both of those meetings. So the MRP was revised following the receipt of the comments and was assigned a new number, order number R1-2008-0071. It was posted on our website on June 2nd. We are presently working on the response to the comments that we received during the two meetings, and we'll release that document before we enroll any units under Tier 2. We do wish to thank the residents, Palco, and Mr. Hales for their time and attention. Now, what kind of changes were actually made in the MRP? Among other things, the residents wanted a more public process, including posting of application documents and maps, followed by a comment period. In response, we have instituted a public review process to solicit comments on the documents. We have set up an internet list server that notifies interested public that application packages are available online as of June 2nd of this year. A 14-day comment period follows. Then the enrollment decision is made following review of those comments and evaluation of the package, and also following a response to the substantive comments that we may get on those packages. I will say that not all of the residents' concerns were met in the revision of the monitoring reporting program. In any case, we now have four application packages posted on the internet, and the review period for the first two is up, I believe, this coming Monday. Palco wanted more scheduling certainty to meet operational needs. Thus, we set up a timeline for submissions. Early submissions are now acceptable. Staff committed to a 45-day enrollment timeline within which we determine if the unit is capable of being enrolled. However, there will be no enrollments made until we receive and review the annual report that's due on May 1st of each year. By the way, we have received the annual report for the 2007 activities, and there were no landslides associated with the Tier 2 program. I also wish to add that the level of analysis and development and review that we're doing on these plans really is not being done on THPs anywhere else that we are aware of. Oops. Barron Jordan Creeks. Now, these two creeks, along with Elk River and Freshwater Creeks, and one other watershed called Stitz Creek, are the so-called five watersheds, all in Humboldt County and all largely or totally owned by Palco. They were deemed back in 1997 by multiple agencies, including ours, as being cumulatively impacted with timber harvest a contributing factor. This board passed a motion in December 2003 directing staff to develop a permitting mechanism for these five watersheds. The result was the WWDRs for Elk and Freshwater, and we are now in the process of developing the same for Bear and Jordan Creeks. Stitz Creek will be dealt with at a later time. A letter requesting report of discharge, or ROWD, was sent to Palco in last February, and we are awaiting submittal of the enrollment of the ROWD package. Now, this is a truly collaborative process. We're working closely with Palco and others on this. Palco is committed to it and has expressed some enthusiasm for it, if I can describe it so. It may well be used as a template for future processes on their holdings and others as well. A while back, the board requested a presentation of all the monitoring results that have been done in Elk River and Freshwater Creek. And we are going to hold what we're calling a monitoring summit on July 17th up in Humboldt County. All monitoring parties will have an opportunity to present and discuss data in a facilitated session. The facilitator is being provided by the Redwood Community Action Agency using monies granted to them under Prop 50 by this board. Staff will provide a summary report to the board at a later meeting. And these are the parties that are doing the monitoring. There's quite a few. There's quite a lot of data, and it hasn't ever been presented in one forum. So we're looking forward to this. Looking to the future, the bankruptcy decision is coming soon. The judge has tentatively confirmed the reorganization plan put forth by Mendocino Redwoods Company, also known as the MRC Marathon Plan. Apparently, there are still a few sticking points. My understanding is the council will provide you with further details in a closed session, so I won't say any more here. I will say that your staff is ready to assist the new owners in the transition to ensure minimal operational disruption and to help them understand and comply with the various programs and projects that our agency has undertaken on the property. The TMDLs continue on. The first chapters of the Elk TMDL will be an internal review here in the office next week. Our plans right now are to have an adoption workshop in front of you by next spring. And that was all I had. I am certainly happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Corbett.
Yes, I had some questions on the monitoring summit and what's going to be included in the scope of that.
Do you want to talk about that, Bob, or Donna? I'm a little out of the loop on this, so that's why I'm seeking better.
And I think it might be helpful if I state my concerns so that you can. The number one concern I have that's important to get done to me before we get to the TMDL is whether the scope of the monitoring is adequate. And I'm not talking about scope within what we're monitoring, but should we be monitoring more of the watershed to get a picture of the whole than we are? And I know that I had asked that several times in the past and got reassurances. And then it's my understanding as we're looking at this closer, it is an issue that we would need to look at. And I want confirmation from you on that. And if it is, would that go in this monitoring summit? Or if not, how do we work it into the TMDL?
My name's Adona White of the Timber Harvest Division, working on the Elk River Sediment TMDL. And I'm also helping to organize the monitoring summit. And the purpose of the summit is, one, partially to address your request of the parties getting together to vet the data, but also to bring the parties together who are doing monitoring in the watershed, primarily sediment-related parameters, in a way that we can discuss the methods and really clarify if they are comparable, because we as staff have been striving for several years now to ensure that they are comparable, but there's still, you know, we're getting more into it, so there are still some differences. So we want to go over the methods and also have the parties who are doing monitoring, which are Pacific Lumber Company, the residents, and Salmon Forever. BLM and Green Diamond Resources Company are all doing monitoring, give them an opportunity to share their project in their own words in a non-hearing, non-regulatory setting,
right,
and vet, kind of look at where the data are laying out. Are we able at this time to see any trends, and do we need to add some stations or some parameters? Or can we drop some? Because some of it is quite intensive. And then really what I'm trying to get out of this is, what can we say about what's happening with sediment in the watershed? Do we have enough information to help down the line inform restoration measures? Because I anticipate that under the Elk implementation plan, will call out means of getting towards restoration, be that, you know, however we manage to do that. But my hope is that we have the data set up and ready for whoever picks up that project of working towards restoration, be it with sediment transport models as a piece or whatever. So we just right now this week and early next week, we as staff are going to be developing an invite and an agenda. So we're kind of tossing around some more detailed questions we want to have answered. And so far, Pacific Lumber Company and Salmon Forever are on board to participate. And Redwood Community Action Agency is going to facilitate, like Mark said. And we're likely to invite some technical advisors to participate, and We're working. We have a preliminary list, but as we refine the questions we want to have answered, we're going to invite people based on who has the appropriate expertise. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and you answered my second question, that you would be looking for redundancies as well. So
absolutely.
I appreciate you covering that side of the aisle. Are we measuring in all the right places? And so it sounds like you have a really good scope. And I'm really very much supportive of the way you've structured the meeting, and we can try that. What we've tried in that watershed hasn't always worked, but yeah. I think this has really good prospects. And
I should add that we're striving for a meeting that's not a public meeting. It's an invite-only meeting to really keep it well contained and framed to meeting our goals.
Will there be a record made?
Well, yes, we discussed that yesterday. We thought that perhaps videotaping it would not be the best way to go, just so that people can really feel free to speak, but RCAA is going to provide a note taker, and I imagine that the summary will be available to you all or the public.
Okay. Other comments or questions? I have one in terms of the tier two, or how many you gave the acreage of that's been enrolled. How far are those, once enrolled and they're harvested forthwith, and it's consider them harvested if they've been enrolled?
Generally, they're harvested right away. Yeah, I mean, they're waiting on these, so they waste no time.
And the queue for the, I mean, have you got applications beyond those that are identified here as having been enrolled?
We have a series of applications that have been made for this year. Like I said, four of them are on the website. I think we got another group the other day, so they are coming in, and we're in the process of looking at those. So, but I don't have a feel for, say, potential acreage this year. PALCO's made it clear that they would like every watershed plans enrolled up to the peak flow limit, which is higher than the landslide limit. So we haven't done that in the past, but you know, we'll see what this year holds.
And you're soliciting comments, you said the comment period hasn't yet closed.
Right.
Have we received, do you have any sense of significant amount of comment? We don't know yet.
The only comment we got was pointing out that there were a couple pieces of information that were lacking, which we then put on the webpage. But really, it's been nothing substantive in terms of numbers or factors. So we're still a bit of a black box as far as what we're going to be getting.
I guess I had one other question. One of the perennial debates is what I call the basketball versus the pig of the sediment moving down the creek. Mm-hmm. And the legacy loggers go, it's a basketball going down the Python. And it would not be surprising downstream residents, as the basketball sediment mm-hmm. goes by, would be suffering quite a bit. The others, the pig, that the ongoing sediment, you know, keeps on giving. Do you think we're going to be closer to having a perspective on that issue at the end of the presentation of the data?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of issues involved. We've been dealing with this issue for a number of years, recognition that there's a lot of sediment in the system that may or may not move out on its own, and we're trying our best at cutting it off at the upper end, but it is still working its way through the system. So I don't know if I could really venture a guess as to how much closer we'll be at that point. So,
Jeff?
Sure. Yeah, and actually to build on your question, John, that wouldn't be a question that you could answer based strictly on what the data that are going to be presented at the summit will be. You would have to boil all of that information down and then try to apply it to try to come up with that answer. I don't think anybody's doing any sediment budgeting for that. Is mm-hmm. more likely just direct measurements.
Right.
So,
yes.
Back to my first question is, there's four units already that are on the website.
Yes.
And you're receiving comment. How many more days until that comment period closes?
I believe the first comment period ends this coming Monday.
Okay.
So.
And that's for all four of them?
That's for the first two. We're kind of okay. We're trying to meter them so we don't get all, you know, a lot at one time.
That's what I was. Comments,
so
yeah, okay,
yeah. So we done.
That's going to be a quick answer to your black boxes.
right.
So your pig and your python right there.
right. So a couple the first week, a couple the second week, and we'll probably put a couple more next week as they come in. So,
got it. Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Anyone else want to make comment? Happy to take it. Earlier in the day, we had a discussion about a low threat. We may have, you must have used the low threat to have another meeting with Jeff Hales, is to succeed in calming the troops. And, you know, come to agreement, or we'll submit you to another. We do appreciate Jeff getting involved in calming the troops out there, because this is one of the calmer discussions we've had on an agenda item so named.
Well, again, we did appreciate Jeff being there. It did help the situation. I must say, both of these meetings, as opposed to some of the meetings we had in the past, was very civil. It was very fact-based. There was a minimum of aspersions cast, so it was very positive sign. So,
all right. I think some credit needs to be given to you and Bob for setting the ground rules very clearly going into the meeting, that it was a very defined objective of this is what we're here to discuss, and that's it. So yeah. it went smooth.
Good. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. That does it. Thank you. We are on to the next item, which is the last item, which is items of interest.